continued with each one: Distinguished Service Cross, Silver Star, Bronze Star, Purple Heart. America's wars marched by: Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam, Korea, World War II, World War I. Some soldiers died in very old age. Others still were teenagers. Crosses, Stars of David, crescents and stars. Every religion, every race, every age, every region of America is represented in these fields of stone. I came upon the gravesite of a Medal of Honor recipient. I paused, came to attention, and saluted. The Medal of Honor is the nation's highest decoration for battlefield valor. By military custom, all soldiers salute Medal of Honor recipients, irrespective of their rank, in life and in death. We had reminded our soldiers of this courtesy. Hundreds of gravesites would receive salutes that afternoon. I planted this hero's flag and kept moving. On some headstones sat a small memento, a rank or unit patch, a military coin, a seashell, sometimes just a penny or even a rock. Each was a sign that someone, maybe family or friends, perhaps even a battle buddy who lived because of his friend's ultimate sacrifice, had visited and honored and mourned. For those of us who had been downrange, the sight was equally comforting and jarring, a sign that we would be remembered in death, but also a reminder of just how close some of us had come to resting here ourselves. I left those mementos undisturbed. After a while, my hand began to hurt from pushing on the pointed gold tips of the flags. There had been no rain that week, so the ground was hard. I questioned my soldiers how they were moving so fast and seemingly pain-free. They asked if I was using a bottle cap, and I said no. Several shook their heads in disbelief. Forgetting a bottle cap was apparently a mistake on par with forgetting one's rifle or night vision goggles on patrol in Iraq. Those kinds of little tricks and techniques were not briefed in the day's written order, but rather get passed down from seasoned soldiers. These details often make the difference between mission success or failure in the Army, whether in combat or stateside. After some good-natured ribbing, a young private squared me away with a spare cap. We finished up our last section and got word over the radio to go place flags in the columbarium, where open-air buildings contain thousands of urns and niches. Walking down Arlington's leafy avenues, we passed Section 60, where soldiers killed in Iraq and Afghanistan were laid to rest if their families chose Arlington as their eternal home. Unlike in the sections we had just completed, several visitors and mourners were present. Some had settled in for a while on blankets or lawn chairs. Others walked among the headstones. Even from a respectful distance, we could see the sense of loss and grief on their faces. Once we finished the columbarium, mission complete, came over the radio, and we began the long walk up Arlington's hills and back to Fort Myer. In just a few hours, we had placed a flag at every gravesite in this sacred ground, more than 200,000 of them. From President John F. Kennedy, to the unknown soldiers, to the youngest privates from our oldest wars, every hero of Arlington had a few moments that day with a soldier who, in this simple act of remembrance, delivered a powerful message to the dead and the living alike. You are not forgotten. The Thursday before Memorial Day is known as Flags Inn at Arlington National Cemetery. The soldiers who place the flags at every gravesite in the cemetery belong to the 3rd United States Infantry Regiment, better known as the Old Guard. Since 1948, the Old Guard has served at Arlington as the Army's official ceremonial unit and escort to the President. I walked through Arlington for Flags Inn with the Old Guard in 2018. What better way to show the nation and our fellow soldiers that we care and we never forget, observed Colonel Jason.